Remembering now again that God has commanded us to be diligent about keeping the unity together in our efforts to serve Christ and accomplish his purposes. So let's read the scripture for today, and then let me start with the white. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Thank you. This evening, I want to discuss the next essential. Now, it's not going to be, we are called one hope of our calling, because that is kind of the whole, he's going back and saying, just like your calling, which he talked about in 4, 1 through in 2. So I want to go right to, there is one Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I don't know if you know that. Just kidding. Jesus Christ is Lord, isn't he? Amen. And we mention the verse every week that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I believe we all know that. And the Bible is so clear on that subject. But I looked at it and I thought, well, I'll just skip on over that because we have Lord. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I think there's times in our lives where maybe the Lord isn't top chair, number one chair. Maybe he isn't, and something else may be clouding our focus from him being Lord of our lives. And so we get a little or maybe a lot off course. So I want to, and so my question really tonight is, have you lost your cutting edge for the Lord? I really want to do a practical thing tonight. Several weeks ago, I was reading, I keep just reading through my Bible, and I used to do it once a year. Now it just goes on and on and on and never stops. And so I don't know where I am in terms of the one-year Bible, but I don't think I'm on track. And so I just had read 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7. And as I read over that passage a few weeks back, I've been thinking about it a lot. And I want to draw very practical points for you and I to consider about having Jesus Christ stay Lord in our life. And so I want to just read this section. It's a neat little section. And then I want to just have us look at a few things. And the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, "See now, the place where you dwell with you, or where we dwell with you, is too small for us. Please, let us go to Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we can dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he said, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, an iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Now, I love this. I love this whole story. In fact, I was just on the internet looking at the story, and I saw comment from Stephen Hawkins, a famous atheist, and he was talking about, see, there's one example in the Bible that makes it all untrue, is an iron head floating. And I thought, man, is that all you got? There's two main characters in this story, an unnamed prophet student and the prophet Elijah with these other guys. And when it says they cut down trees to make this place, I don't think they cut down the trees to build lumber like we do. There just isn't that much wood in Israel. They typically make it out of rocks, and then they use the wood for the roof. Okay, and so each one of them had to cut down their own piece, branch, and get it ready so they could make a roof for this thing. And the building was too small. In fact, one of the other passages kind of insinuates that it was too narrow for the prophet Elijah to be able to teach them the word, God's word. So the students asked permission to go to the area of the Jordan River, where there were a lot of trees along the Jordan, and they could actually build a larger place to study and live. This is really kind of like the first Bible college that's mentioned in the Bible. And the plan was that each student was to cut down one piece of wood each for the building expansion. And the prophet Elijah said, that sounds like a good idea, so go, let's build a new place. Now, you know, I look at that, and it reminds me of a couple relatives my dad talked about when I was young in South Carolina. They owned a used car lot. I don't know how many cars they had, maybe 5 or 10 at the max. And so these cousins were, my dad told me that these cousins were busy making food in the office. They were cooking up some black-eyed peas and ham hock and that kind of thing. And so this particular day, a couple came and they saw a car they really liked on the lot and said it came to the office and said, we'd really like to look to this car. And they were busy and could hardly talk to them. And after greeting the couple, they found out that they were interested in this particular car. So they said, y'all go down now and look at the car. We've already seen it. And I looked at that, and I thought, you know, when we claim Jesus as Lord, and we renew our commitment to, or renew our commitment to Him, we're excited at first, and we want to serve Him, but in time, like my dad's cousin, we get kind of loose in our vision, and we get our eyes off Christ, and we let life kind of take its course, and we kind of fall away from the calling in which He's called us, and pretty soon we become kind of visionless, and we end up cooking our black-eyed peas and ham hock instead of showing the people the car. And Elijah and the students began construction of this school. They headed to the Jordan River and began to cut the trees down. Now, each student was doing his part, but one student was cutting the tree down when the iron axe head flew off the handle of the axe, and he had borrowed it, and it fell into the Jordan River and went right to the bottom. This young student lost his cutting edge, so to speak, and he lost his effectiveness in doing his work. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. From a real practical angle. You know, each of us are kind of successful in our lives. You know, we've had choices of work or hobbies or sports, raising up a family, whatever it may be, and we're kind of successful. And we know that, and you know that if you've done the work for the Lord, and most of you have done that either in the past or still doing it in the present or serving God now, you can be assured that there is no greater work, when you stop to think about it, then building up the kingdom of God, right? There's no better work. But the problem is, and the question comes back, have you lost your cutting edge in serving the Lord? Because it's really easy to do that. Were you out at one time in your life working with great strength and vigor, and the chips were flying in all directions, and you were knocking down tree after tree, so to speak, in God's kingdom, and through events or circumstances or disappointments or hurt, the chopping became ineffective. Folks, if we've lost our cutting edge for the Lord, we need to ask Him to help us get it back. There's a couple things I believe in this passage teaches us that might help us here. So let's use these seminary students, and especially this one student, as an example. First, like the text talked about, we have to admit that we've lost the cutting edge. Now, he said, Master, and told him that he lost the edge. And this young student admitted it, and he it has slipped off. It was an accident. He didn't purposely do that. And it flew in the Jordan River and sank to the bottom. And he was busy doing important work for God, but suddenly he was no longer effective at it. The young student couldn't have reacted. I mean, this student could have reacted in other ways. Like, he might have, instead of admitting that he had a problem, maybe he could be happy that he lost the axe head. And then dove in, maybe, and tried to find it and spent all that time looking for the axe head while everybody else is down in the trees. Or he could have used it as an excuse to stop working for God altogether. He could have found a nice, cool shade tree and poured himself a glass of iced tea and watched the fellow students work because his axe head was gone. On the other hand, he could have refused to admit that he lost the axe head altogether. He could have said, "What problem? I don't have a problem." And he could keep swinging that wood handle with no axe head, and he'd go through the motions and act like he was cutting down trees and make a lot of grunting and groaning, but accomplish absolutely nothing. And did you catch the part where the young student said, "Oh, my Lord, that axe head was borrowed"? You know, have you ever considered that we are given gifts and talents in our life that God has, in essence, lent them? He has given them to us. And yet a lot of times we let them go. We swing the axe handle, but it doesn't have an axe head. Second, like the young seminary student, we need to determine the exact spot that we lost the cutting edge. Elijah asked the same question, asking, "Where did it fall?" And you know from personal experience, a really good way to find something is to go back and track. Now, I really know that one. I'm sure you guys too. In fact, have you lost your car keys lately? Man, that happens to me all the time. I mean, every so often, all of a sudden, I don't know where those car keys, they go through the wash, or finally I find them in some jeans I wore. In fact, it was not too long ago I lost the Toyota keys, and it was gone for a month. And I had to keep borrowing Debbie's keys, and I think, where the heck is it? And then I finally found it in some work pants that I had mowed the lawn with, and they'd been there the whole time. So I got serious, and I looked through them all, and I went through all my pants, and I went through everything, and finally, there are the keys. It isn't that the way with us. Somewhere along the road, we have the tendency to lose our strength, to stumble in our passion to build up the kingdom of God, and like this young student in our text, we didn't plan for it to happen. It reminds me of the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. When Peter says to Jesus, Peter answered and said unto him, "Even if all are made to stumble or take offense because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And what happened to faithful Peter? As Jesus predicted, he denied the Lord Jesus three times. Now, folks, when we get to the point where we've lost the cutting edge in serving Christ, we need to remember that our cutting edge was left somewhere that we can find. And whether we lost it, or maybe whether we turn from God, or something else in our life seems to be more important and we get our focus off Him. The third thing I think that this little story tells us is we simply have to go to God in prayer. We have to ask to get our cutting edge back. And as the student asked for help because he felt incapable, it was beyond him. Just as the Lord does in our lives, he answers just like Elijah. And Elijah tossed a branch, one of those branches they were going to put on the roof. He takes that branch and throws it in the water, and up comes the axe head. And it floats to the top. And then I love this. "Therefore, Elijah said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' For he reached out, and so he reached out his hand and took it." And you know, I think so many times we look to the Lord, we pray, and then we hope that he works in our life, and we hope that he'll change our mind, and we hope that he'll give us strength, and we hope all these things. And really, God's saying to you, pick up your edge. Take a hold of it. God is waiting for you to pick it up, and it's your choice. And he's not going to do it for you. We want to stop here, and we're going to just do a song of worship, and I'm going to come back with just a few thoughts and close up. You know, I look at this and I think Jesus Christ is Lord, isn't he? Jesus Christ is Lord, and I don't know why it is that we stumble and we fall or we get caught up with other things in our life that drive us away from him sitting on the throne of our life as number one. But this story tells us that what we need to do is come to terms with it and figure out where we lost it. What changed our mind? What did we do? And make sense of that and then pray for the strength that the Lord will just encompass us in our weakness and then pick up again and go. You know, and as I read this story in 2 Kings, the people all around Elisha and those prophets worship multi-gods. And it always tangled them up. And it's a history of how these people messed up and messed up and messed up because they have their gods. But here there's only one Lord. That's what Ephesians says, and we believe that, don't we? And today we really, in all honesty, do exactly the same thing, and it takes different forms in our life. We worship other gods like we can, and all these may be good, but at the same time they may not. We worship the God of health. And we think that if we eat certain processes or we take vitamins and herbs and organic foods or we exercise or we treat our bodies right, somehow we're going to live 20 or 30 or forever. Or the God of politics, if somebody just has the right thinking that gets in office, that we're going to be safe and everything's going to be right and our Constitution is going to be fulfilled. And I remember a very good friend of mine years ago was very involved in politics, and he came over and he was trying to get me to run for office. And I said, do you really think that politicians can usher in the kingdom of God so that everything will work out right? And he just stared at me and he said, you know what? I never thought about that. Or we have the God of camping, or the God of fishing, or the God of hunting, or the God of motorcycles, or the God of marriage, good marriages, or the God of children, or the God of science, or the God of money, or the God of cars, or the God of budgets, or the God of music, or the God of survival. And the list goes on and on. We do have those gods. And yet every one of those things in themselves is okay. But we let him run over us. So what is it, my friend, in your life that makes you stumble? And you may be here tonight and you're doing well, and that's great. Talk to all the others and encourage them. And if you aren't, go back and figure out what that is and do something about it. God's looking for you and I to walk in the calling in which we've been called. Amen. Father, we just come tonight. We are so love you. You're such a great God because you put up with it and you watch us fall and stumble and we get up again. And just like Elisha said to that kid, get it for yourself. And you tell us, get up again and get going. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we will look in our hearts and look for those areas that's pulling us back, that's keeping us in the world, and it's not really driving us to serve the way you want us to serve. And may we begin to do that. Father, we call out on you this tonight while our heads are bowed.